you call the future into being. Lord, tomorrow is only going to happen if you call it forth. That's how it happens, Lord. And so whoever is here today, Lord, is here by your great plan. And because we're here, Lord, we say, have your will in us and through us and use us. Lord, we want to be faithful to you. You've always been faithful to us. Amen, church? Amen. Go ahead and turn to Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47, Old Testament book. If you don't know where Ezekiel 47 is, you need to get into our discipleship program. Anybody that's in our discipleship program will know where it's at. But right now, we are in a 21-day of fasting and prayer at Easter. We start every year with this. We're calling it Awaken 2019. And so we've got the church, really, we call the church to begin to fast and begin to pray. If you're like, this is new to me, well, you can start tomorrow. I mean, today we're up to day 12. And so you can start tomorrow. There's different kinds of fasts. You can do a full fast. You can do, you know, maybe juice fast. You can do a Daniel fast, which is vegetables and maybe fruit. You can do all kinds of different fasts. You can fast media, other things. But if you get in our, if you download our app, it'll get you to our website, or you can just get into our website, deeperlives.com, and there you'll find a little half sheet which will really take you through what we're doing and why we're doing it. And also on the backside of that is daily prayer. You know, one of the prayers for today is about, you know, forgiving those that have hurt us, and in fact, going beyond that and blessing them. Like, whoa, that's, see, because when we have unforgiveness in our heart, we're the ones paying the price. We sometimes, well, I'm just not going to forgive them. Well, guess what? They're not worried that you don't forgive them, because they're as blind as can be. But guess what? We're obligated as believers to forgive people. And we're saying, go even another step, bless them. Lord, you bless them. I'll put them in your court. You'll do whatever. But I want to encourage you to join us, if you will, for that. 21 days of fasting and prayer. But, you know, when someone comes to East River, it's just a matter of time before they maybe ask somebody, you know, where do you guys get the name East River? Because, I mean, it makes sense, because, like, they've heard of the Tualatin River. They've heard of the Columbia River. They've heard of what other rivers is around here? Willamette River. I mean, but people are like, I've never heard of the East River. Where is it at? And so, really, that's kind of what I'm talking about. And this began back in 2001 when we were pastoring in L.A. We were pastors there, downtown L.A., and we knew that our assignment there was done, and in seeking the Lord, we sensed that he was calling us back to Hillsboro, where we were at the time, but he was calling us to start a church in Washington County. Well, in talking to the Lord, I'm like, Lord, I'm not interested in starting another church. There's plenty of churches. Plenty of churches. In fact, at the time I was, you know, before we left LA, I was part of an awesome church. I'm like, Lord, I don't want another church. Unless, I said, Lord, unless it's going to be the kind of church that you had in mind in the first place. See, because the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the assembly, that's his idea. Sometimes we kind of take it and we run with it and we make it like our idea. But I'm like, Lord, I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in just another church, but I'm interested in what you had in mind, because I want to give you pleasure. I don't want you to look down one day and say, what the heck are they doing down there? Instead, I want you to say, man, they're doing exactly what I meant the church to be. And so it was in seeking the Lord as to what the church would be like, that he led us to Ezekiel 47. I was praying, Pam was praying, I had my pastors praying, and that was the portion of scripture that he gave us. And then the more I read Ezekiel 47, I read it and understood the context of it. I knew the exegesis of it. I knew what it meant. But I'm like, what does it have to do with us, Lord? And the more I read it, the more the Lord began to really unpack it and gave me the vision and direction for East River. And the reason that I'm like, Lord, what does this have to do? Because this portion of scripture, Ezekiel 47, is really talking about the millennial reign of Christ. I mean, we're talking in the future. And I totally understand that when he gave it to Ezekiel, Ezekiel was in captivity in Babylon. So I'm like, what does that have to do with me? And what does that have to do with the church you're starting? And the more I read it, the Lord began to unpack it. began to show me what it had to do with me. So today, I'm going to be talking about our identity as a church and our assignment. I'm going to do a mini series. We're going to get back to Romans eventually, but I'm going to do a mini series for the next few weeks. And here's the series. What's your purpose, East River? That's the question. What's your purpose, East River? Because I'm a purpose guy. Right? We know that that's the word for the year, purpose. And I want to be in the middle of his purpose. I don't want to come up with my own. So let's turn to Ezekiel 47. I'm gonna show you four things concerning East River out of this portion of passage. The first thing you got to know is, what is the source of East River? What is the source? You got to understand, East River is not Carlos. East River is not built on me at all. It's not about my smartness, good thing, right? It's not about my charisma, good thing. It's not about, you know, my good looks. Although my wife's not here right now, so you know, I usually say that because I want to remind her why she married me. It has nothing to do with any of those things. It's not about me. I'm not the source of East River, and we're gonna look who is the source. Here we go, verse 1. So Ezekiel is given this vision, and in the vision, this angel is leading him around. So it says, then he, talking about the angel, he brought me to the door of the temple. Once again, this is the millennial temple in Jerusalem. So he brought me back to the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple. You got to visualize it. Toward the east, from the front of the temple, faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. Verse 2, and he brought me out by way of the north gate, and he led me around to the outside of the outer gate that faces east, and there was water running on the right side. You got to understand what's going on here in this vision. Ezekiel is in captivity where? In Babylon. So the Babylonians had come and had taken the best and the brightest, really, of Judah, and had taken them captive to Babylon. The best and the brightest, which Ezekiel was part of that. He was actually from a priestly family, but the Lord raised him up as a prophet. So he's prophesying. And so you can imagine what the people felt like. Can you imagine if we all were, you know, the Canadians came down and took us captive to Canada? Well, what Ezekiel understood was that Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was in ruins. And so you're wondering, are we ever going to go back to the U.S.? Are we ever going to go back home? And it was this to say, you know what? You are. In fact, I'm going to reestablish my temple in Jerusalem. That's why I know that I don't care how many nations in the Middle East come against Israel, they're going to get their butt whooped. You know why? Because Yahweh is the God of Israel. He will defend Israel. Every time, if you study history, you'll see it, and he'll continue to do that. And that's why I wake up in the morning and I bless Israel. I bless Israel. In fact, one of the things and we're going to talk about as a church, we're a very giving church. We give to a lot of things, a lot of things. But I have a standing order that the first thing that we give is now to Israel. We actually now support a ministry in Israel. And so the very first thing we're going to do is we're going to bless Israel because they're God's people. Amen. And that's what we do. But we do give a lot to all kinds of other ministries. So that's really the context of Ezekiel 47. But I'm like, Lord, what does it have to do with what you're calling me to do? Well, the Lord said, the temple is where my presence was. You heard Todd talk about it. The temple is where my tangible presence with mankind was. And the Lord said, this church that you're going to start, there's going to be a tangible presence of my spirit there. And when people come to East River, and I've had a lot of people come, and they'll say, man, this place is different because I feel your presence in this place. They really do. And part of the reason is because we pray that God's presence would be here. We pray that God would, by his spirit, would feel comfortable in this place. In fact, we pray that this would be the stronghold of God. He's like, what stronghold? A lot of preachers, we always talk about the stronghold of the enemy, but scripture talks about the stronghold of God. So we say, Lord, establish a stronghold that from this place, your kingdom could be expanded all over Washington County and beyond. So that's what we do. We pray that angels will descend and ascend from this place, that this is a place where God feels comfortable. And in fact, once a month, we do a corporate prayer. In fact, Tuesday, tell your neighbor Tuesday. He's talking about this Tuesday. Hit your neighbor a little bit. Wake him up. Tell him this Tuesday, right? This Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we're having corporate prayer here. And so what we do is we pray for you. We pray for this community. We pray for this nation. And one of the things we do, we go to the double doors and we open the double doors and, you know, we get in a semicircle and we invite the Holy Spirit in this place. Because you, I tell you what, the Holy Spirit is not always welcome in churches, which is odd to me. But they're not always, especially the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the giftings of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So we open the doors as representatives, and so we say, Holy Spirit, come and have your way here. And that's why you feel the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. And we guard that so well, amen? We guard that. So the Lord said the temple is really, that's the way Israel is going to be. It's going to be, have the same tangible spirit. And then he talks about water flowing. Well, in Scripture, when it talks about water flowing, it often talks about two different things. One, the river of life, and also water will represent really the Holy Spirit. Remember, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of what? Living waters. Talking about the Holy Spirit in us. So I'm like, Lord, what is this whole thing of about water flowing? And the Lord told me that He would be our source. Each river is built on Jesus, right? It's not built, as I said, on me. That He will be our source. And in fact, I because I understood what He was saying, from day one, we decided that we would not pass the plate around. We're going to be 17 years old March 1st. 17 years old March 1st. And in 17 years, we have never, ever, not even once, passed the plate around. In fact, pastors, friends of mine, they told me, you're going to close the doors in 3 months. They said, if you're not going to pass the plate, you literally will go broke and you're going to close the doors in 3 months. And the opposite is what has happened. Instead, we did. We wanted to follow the temple, the synagogue model, where we have these giving boxes and stuff. So we've never passed a plate. In fact, it's kind of interesting because when people come to East River, they sometimes are wondering, when are you going to pass a plate? There was a guy that came one time. Somebody brought him from church, and so he'd been churches around, and he tells his friend, you know, when are they going to pass the plate? And he says, well, we don't pass the plate. So he says, well, how do you guys give? And he says, you see those boxes? That's how we give. And so the guy was thinking a little bit, and he's like, aren't those boxes kind of big to pass around? good question, huh? Yes. So starting today, we're going to start passing the box around. No. I mean, people are just used to it. But this is a different kind of church, amen? The Lord raises up, and I tell you what, the Lord has been faithful. When He said He's our source, He works through you, obviously, right? You're the ones that tithe. You're the ones that give offerings. You're the one that, you know, we're a church that worships Him, not just with our mouth. We never want to just, you know, talk is cheap. It really is. But we want to worship Him with our substance. It's got to cost us something. And we've been a church that has been so financially blessed. Instead, like, you know, we're getting some huge bills from the contractors that are working here. And you know, one of the contractors is blown away because they're used to waiting 60 to 90 days to have someone pay their bill. And, you know, one of the contractors, you know, gives us a bill and we paid it the next day. He's like, you know, like, what? And there was a guy that on Thursday came, one of the contractors, and he brought his bill. And if he would have stuck around, I would have paid him that day. I was like, how are you able to do that? God has blessed us. He's our source. And so we don't worry unless the source was going to dry up. But the last I checked, heaven hasn't declared bankruptcy yet. Amen? And it never will. So we rely on Him. In fact, we give so much. We really do. We give so much away. And so this river, look right here. It says this river, right, was flowing toward the what? East. That's where we get the name from, East River. This river, which is the Holy Spirit, which is this living water that's flowing east, that's where the name East River comes, right? So that's the source of East River. Here's the next thing. The size of East River or the volume of East River or the depths of East River. Look at Ezekiel 47, verse 3 to 5. And so this vision is continuing. And when the man went out to the east with a line in hand, so this angel is going and so here's the temple, and it's flowing east. Kind of the way, if you look at the temple in Jerusalem, right? The temple would have been, well, Jerusalem's like 2,500 feet, I think, in elevation. And so to the west, it would flow down to the coast, right? To the ocean. And then to the east really goes to the Dead Sea. And I tell you what, there's nothing there. I mean, the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea because it's what? Dead. There's nothing living there. And even the area around it, it's pretty rugged. I mean, that's right where, you know, John the Baptist used to hang out there, you know? I mean, it's desert. It's kind of crazy. But he's taking them around and he's showing them, you know, this water flowing toward the east, which is really toward the Dead Sea. So he says he measured 1,000 cubits. So this angel, he shows him the water that's flowing, and he measures like 1,500 feet, right? That's 1,000 cubits, 1,500 feet. And he says, check this out, right? So he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water was up to my ankle. So he's taken Ezekiel in this vision, and so I'm like, Lord, what's this got to do with us? And then he measured another 1,000, and he brought me through the water, and the water now came up to his knees. So he's taken Ezekiel deeper and deeper. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits, and it was a river that could not be crossed, for the water was too deep, the water in which one must swim in that river that could not be crossed. So I'm like, what's this got to do with it? See, number one, it tells me it's a supernatural river because the further away it gets from the source, it should get the other way. I mean, but it's getting deeper as it gets further away from the source, which is kind of interesting. But what the Lord began to tell me is this: East River is a place where if you want to, you're going to experience the deep things of the Spirit. See, it's up to us. We can just, you know, put in our toe. Well, I'm kind of conservative. I was raised conservative, you know. I was raised in the Midwest, so I'm just going to stick my toe. If you just stick your toe, that's all you're going to get. You're going to get a toe's worth of the deep things of the Spirit. And so he's saying, you know, if you want to go ankle deep, okay, that's all you're going to get is the ankle. But East River is called to be over and in the deep part of the river, the deep things of the things of the Spirit. That's why we call East River, what's our tagline? Inspiring what? Deeper lives. If you're ankle deep, I'm telling you where I'm taking you. I'm taking you to your knee deep first, and then I'm taking you to waist, and then we're gonna throw you in where you're moving in the things of the Spirit, that you're living more Spirit moved than physically moved, that there's less of the flesh and more of the Spirit. The Spirit begins to live and move in you, and so that's why it's going to explain to you why I'm into the things of Spirit. You know, my pastor, I'll give you a quick example. Some of the things that I've learned from my pastor. I remember when we did youth ministry at another church, and we had an awesome youth ministry. We had 150 high schoolers. I mean, it was awesome, moving and grooving. And the one thing that bothered me about my pastor, he'd come and he'd have kind of a couple of staff guys with him, and he'd come and he'd enter the youth room, and I'm excited. Well, the pastor's here. We get to show off for pastor. And he'd be there, I kid you not, 5 seconds, and he would leave. I'm like, is he like mad at us? Is he, I mean, why is, and he would do that all the time. And finally I asked somebody, why doesn't he come check things out, talk to, why is he, he goes, you know what he's doing? He just shows up and says, is God's Spirit here? God's Spirit here. Okay. That's all I need to know. And he walks away. Not the self. See, I just want to know that God's Spirit's here. Right? It has nothing to do with me. I just want to know that he's here, because if he's here, then he's going to encounter you. And that's why we're going to be a people that are going to pray. We're praying all the time. We do 24/7 prayer in this church. Once again, get on our online, on our website, and pick out a time, and you become part of that 24/7 prayer. But the Lord has called us to deeper lives, and part of that is discipleship, our discipleship program. You're not going to get to the deep things of life being a part-time believer. You're not. It takes sacrifice. It takes discipline. That's how you get there. And I'm grateful that I was disciplined, that I was discipled at the very beginning of my life. It has made a big difference. So once again, the source of East River is not only Jesus, but it's really His Holy Spirit. The size of East River is we're going to go deep until we're over our head. In fact, the first couple CDs that we did as a church, the label was called Head Deep Music, because we're like, whoosh, we're in, man. Cannonball, whoosh, right? We're in it in the things of the Spirit. So here's the third thing, the sufficiency of East River. Verse 6 and 8. Once again, these are the things that the Lord began to unpack for me. I'm like, Lord, what's this got to do? And man, I was writing it down. He began to unpack it that quick to me. The sufficiency of East River. Look at verse 6 and 7, Ezekiel 47. And He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? He's talking, he's like, Ezekiel, pay attention. Are you understanding? And He brought me and He returned me to the bank of the river. So assume this is the river here. So He took him to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. So He's seeing this river, and on each side is trees. So I'm like, Lord, what does trees have to do with East River? And the Lord said this. He goes, trees represent churches. And so I knew right from the beginning. In fact, part of our bylaws, we put in there that we'll be, we start churches right from the very beginning. And so we've understood that that's what we do. And we have, we've started churches. And it's always been organic. I've never said, you know, this is what we're going to do. It's really organic. It's something that's happened. In fact, we were 1 year old when somebody came to me and said, hey, I know these young pastors that are want to start a church. And they you know, their denomination has sent them everywhere, and they just don't feel God in where the denominations send them. I'm like, okay, let's get together. I'll have coffee. So I had coffee with them, and I said, okay, what's the Lord telling you? And they teared up right away. I'm like, ooh. They said, you know what? You're the first guy that's ever asked us, what does the Lord want? See, to me, that's a no-brainer. But sometimes you forget, and you think you know. So I said, what's the Lord want? They said, well, I know we're being sent all over the place to look at churches, but the Lord's calling us to Rainier. I said, let's go. They're like, right now? Yeah, let's go. So we got up, go to Rainier, started praying around town, finding a place to meet. See, if God's in it, come in. And so right off the bat, we did that. In fact, the school where they're at, you guys were there. I took some of my leaders with me. We, you know, the first service that they had, we knew this is too small. The building you're at is too small. Let's go look for another one. And Paul says, man, I'd love to have this school. I mean, number one, we didn't have any money. They didn't have any money. And we just started. And, you know, the school, I mean, we're talking a 60,000 square foot school with gym and everything else. It doesn't matter. We're going to march around seven times. We did seven times, just declaring. This is weird. All our leaders, we put our hands on the school. We claimed it for East River and now for Riverside, right? And guess what? That's the building that they own, free and clear. Praise Jesus. Yes. Same. So we knew right off the bat, but I still think that we're going to see a lot more churches in the future than we've seen, because we've never intentionally even tried. I mean, I know how to build churches, start churches. I literally could have, but I never felt release of the Lord. Just, you know, you go start map all this. I never mapped anything out. But many trees represented churches. Ezekiel 47:8. Then He said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, and it goes into the valley, and it enters the sea, talking about the Dead Sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. When we were in Israel, one of the things they do is they let you go and swim, kind of float in the Dead Sea. And so I didn't go. I'm like, I mean, tell me this, you know, you fill up your bathtub and you pour in, you know, 2 pounds of salt. And you think, oh, okay, now it's ready. I think I'm going to have a nice bath. I mean, it's even worse than that, the Dead Sea. And so I'm thinking, you guys have fun. I'll watch you. I'm thinking, because that place is dead. There's nothing living there. Why would I want to do that? Well, He's saying in the millennial reign, when this water flows, that Dead Sea will come to life. And He's going to go on and talk about what the difference is going to be. Again, I'm like, Lord, what does this have to do with East River? Waters are healed. Oh, Lord. Lord began to reveal to me, God's going to use this church to bring healing to people, to bring healing to their marriages. And the Lord has used East River to save a lot of marriages. A lot of marriages. You don't know how many people wanted to leave their spouse, and we say no, and we smack them around a bit, right? Wake up, snap out of it, right? Because it's important, because we see generational stuff. We see that our decisions will impact generations. And we know the Lord wants us to bring healing, health, transformation to marriages, to bodies, to other ministries, to calling, dreams. We know that He's going to use us to bring healing to whatever circumstance we're at. So whenever I go on assignment, if I ever go to your house, I know what my assignment is, because He told me way back before we started. I'm supposed to bring healing. Same with you. You bring healing. There's a fourth thing. So not only have we looked at the source of East River, which is the Holy Spirit, He's the source. Not only have we looked at really the size of East River, the Lord wants us to do the deep things of the Spirit. The sufficiency is there's going to be many, many churches, and we're going to bring healing to whatever circumstances we good. We do the fourth thing is the saving power of East River. Look at verse 9. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. So as the river's going, and I'm telling you, Jerusalem through the desert to the Dead Sea. We've been there. We're like, there's nothing here. What were you doing out here, John the Baptist? Eating locusts? Yes. Yummy. I guess I'll take his word for it. There's nothing out there. The Dead Sea Scrolls where we went. I'm like, what were the Essenes or doing living there? It's crazy because there's nothing there. But in millennial reign, when this river flows, it'll change things. See, that's why when you and I go somewhere, when we enter a room, we change things because the Holy Spirit is in us. And so understand that, get that, that I don't care how hopeless the circumstances, when you're there, anything's possible. When you're there, anything can change. And so he says, wherever the river goes, we'll live. Once again, the river is what? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is where? In you and I. So you and I are the river personified. We are going out with the Holy Spirit in us. Got to understand that. He says, there will be a great multitude of fish. I'm like, what the heck's all about fish? Because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. So the first thing, I'm like, multitude. I'm like, Lord, what the heck is a fish all about? Lord said, fish are people. Multitude. So I knew that East River would be a church that would grow. Started with eight people in our living room. A lot more than eight people come to East River. And we're still growing. Praise Jesus. And we're continuing to grow. And we're making more room to grow. But I knew that the Lord was going to bring a lot of people. But then the Lord said also, there's a multitude of fish, many kinds of fish. So I knew that East River would be a multicultural church. We didn't mean to be a multicultural church. We just are. And it started with me, if you don't know. I'm Latino, by the way. I don't know if you know that. Hola. And it started with me. It really did. And we are a multicultural church, not because we meant to be. Just God brings all kinds and all types of people. And I'm like, praise Jesus. We're right on track. We're right on track. And you got to understand, that's from the very beginning. When we started East River almost 17 years ago, Hillsborough and Washington County looked differently than it does today. But right from the very beginning, that's the kind of church we were. So multitude of fish is multiple backgrounds, multicultural, and then everything will live wherever the river goes. So you and I call this a life-giving church. The river is with us. We go by the power of the Holy Spirit, and whatever, wherever we go, we bring life to it. So you get called, like I sometimes get called, and people are at each other and like, we're done. What they're saying is our marriage is dead. What they're saying, we're done. Well, I carry what with me? The river. I carry the Holy Spirit. And I have what he said is when I go, whatever I touch will what? Come back to life. Well, once again, you touch that too. And you need to know that because your kids will one day maybe might call you and I tell you what, they're in a bad place. Well, you need to know when I show up, I'm going to bring life to that situation. Your friend, maybe you get called to the hospital, and they're like, man, their body is good as dead. Well, guess what? We're going to pray and let God do something. We always do it by the Spirit. I remember getting called to a pastor friend who was in Tualatin Hospital, and they wanted to pull the plug. That's why they called me. But the Lord had said something differently. And it's kind of weird to be able to tell doctors, not only are you not going to pull the plug, but he's going to walk out of here. And they kind of got mad at me. Like, oh man, you're one of those weird pastors. No, but we bring what? Life. And I knew what the Lord was saying. Right? And so I told the family, don't pull the plug. Don't let him pull the plug. And sure enough, Spory will tell you, it was crazy. Spory's playing here, and he walks through that door. And Spory says, I see dead man walking. I still remember what you said. I see dead men. Well, you know why? Because the Spirit of God, wherever we go, brings life. Amen? So you got to be thinking bigger than you do. You got to be thinking bigger than you do. Don't wait for the preacher man. You don't need the preacher man. I can only go so many places. This is you. Once again, you got to, that's me. Right? That's me. I can go and bring life to my family. I can go bring life in my workplace. There's a reason when coworkers, when I worked for the feds, when they were struggling, when all falling apart, guess whose office they came? Mine. I knew they wanted to talk because they'd always close the door behind them. We're going to have a Jesus talk, but first let's close the door because I don't want any of my coworkers to know I'm talking to the religious guy. That's how you know. They'll come to you and they'll go like, can we talk? Man, what an opportunity. Amen. Wherever, everything will live wherever the river goes. Verse 10, Ezekiel 47. It shall be that fishermen, like, what the heck is fishermen? It shall be that fishermen will stand by it, talking about the river, from En-Gedi to En-Gleam. They will be placed, there will be places for spreading their nets. Like, Lord, what the heck is this whole net thing? Their fish will be the same kinds as the fish of the great sea. So again, he's saying this Dead Sea now will have all kinds of fish. Exceedingly many. So I'm like, what the heck is fishermen? The Lord said the fishermen is ministry leaders. I'm going to give you, some amazing ministry leaders. And I have got the best ministry leaders around. That's why you'll never see me stress. Because Ish River is not about me. I've got some amazing leaders that carry the weight of this thing. I got amazing elders around me that carry the weight of this thing. And so, but the Lord told me that he's gonna bring me fishermen. And these fishermen are going to cast their net, talking about really evangelistic things that we do, casting the net, bringing people in. And that's happened because here's what you got to know. We don't even have a sign out front that says, hey, this is East River. There's a church here. And so when people come to East River, I'm like, how'd you find us? Because we're trying to stay hidden. We want to be the best kept secret in town. Not really. But think about it. We don't have a sign out front. And yes, people find, and you know how people find us? Because of you. I asked people, how'd you find us? So-and-so invited me. See, I knew that East River would be an evangelistic church, that people would be bold enough to invite people to come here, and they have an encounter with God. And they realize, wait a minute, there's a reason for my life. There's something bigger here than me. I want to be a part of it. So I knew right from the very beginning. And also, the whole thing of nets, the Lord told me we're going to have an impact greater than our size. The Lord says, I'm going to use you to have an impact greater than your size. And so we do. We have a global impact. Not only a local impact, but we have a global impact. The ministries that we are partnered with, you'd be surprised. If we made a list, you would be totally surprised. There is a list, but it's even incomplete. And it's a long list. Let's go to verse 11 and 12, Ezekiel 47. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. So he says not everything is going to come back to life. There's some areas that are still, guess what, are going to remain the same. Because along the banks of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month. Once again, it's supernatural. Because their water flows from the sanctuary. It's because of the Holy Spirit bringing life, more life, more life. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine. So food talks about really the Lord's provision. The Lord says, I'm going to be the one who provides for you. And because of that, we give a lot of money away. You'd be surprised how much money we give away. In fact, we partner with ministries And if God's in it, I want to be in it. So people, it's kind of, I've had people come and I said, well, why'd you come see me? Because people, this is what they said. They've gone to talk to other people and other people said, no, I'm not interested, not interested. And so people are kind of frustrated. And they say, you know what? Go talk to Pastor Carlos. He likes to get things started. So they send them to me. And I'm like, and so I talked to him. If God's in it, count us in. So we have helped ministries get started by giving them a check, praying and saying, go for it. You don't even have to be tied into us. But I can tell God's in it. God's giving you this assignment. Count me in. We're a part of it. And we'll do that. We'll do that. Because once again, he's our source. And a funny thing happens. A funny thing happens is that when we give like that, more comes in. It's the craziest thing. There's one of our contractors. I got to tell you a quick story. One of our contractors, they did work here when we first did the first part. Now they're doing work. I remember when they did work here, I kept trying to find them afterwards to send me a bill. I'm like, I want to close out the book. Send me a bill. I couldn't find them. I finally get a hold of them. I'm like, hey, I've been trying to get a hold of you to, you know, this is a Christian company. I'm trying to get a hold of you to give us a bill. And they're like, oh, no, there's no bill. I'm like, what? They don't know. When we work on the house of God, we don't charge. Like, are you kidding me? I mean, this is $1,000. These are very skilled craftsmen. Thousands of dollars. We don't charge. He goes, this is what we've seen. And he says, in fact, that's why you haven't been able to get a hold of me. Whenever we do something for God's house, we get blessed. In fact, he said, things that slow down. We're like, oh. And then your call came, and we came and did this. And since then, we've been so busy, that's why you haven't been able to get a hold of me. See, they understand the same principle. God's provision is what we want. Amen? So it's the same way. We'll give, and more comes. We've given, more comes. Hard to explain, but that's the way it happens. And so every month, he says, there's going to be fruit every month. The Lord said there's salvations. And salvations because you're talking about Jesus out there all the time. That's why we've grown. People are getting saved. And then there's going to be leaves for medicine. So a healing anointing on East River. I knew that, and we've seen people healed, and I think God wants to do even more. I want to see the dead raised. I want somebody to bring somebody in a stretcher and say, you know, my dad died. Okay, let's raise him from the dead. I want to see that. I got to tell you, I want to see that one day. Right? I mean, I've seen some good stuff, but there's more good stuff coming. I'm really believing that. But once again, it's not on me. You guys have faith. You can ask, Lord, give me a gift of faith that I can believe. Give me a gift of healing that, you know, you can ask the same thing, and I want you to ask the same thing. But that's why when there's a healing rooms here in Hillsborough, downtown Hillsborough, and we were a part of that. We gave them, like what we do, seed money. In fact, we said, you know, they didn't have any staff. We're like, we'll give you staff. We'll find people and we'll staff it. And so we do that and still kind of, you know, provide a little bit of oversight over them. But we wanted to be a part of it. Why was it so easy for me to make the decision? Because the Lord said you're gonna be involved in healing. So why would I say, oh, I'm not interested in being involved in the healing rooms? No, I'm in it because he told me right before we started East River. So I'm going to finish with this. God has given East River an assignment. And amazing assignment. And he's gifted us the Holy Spirit to fulfill that assignment. So really what I want to do today is this. I want to make sure that you're committed, if not recommitted, to that assignment. That you're going to rededicate yourself to the assignment as well as to the ongoing purpose that God has. I want you today to say, you know, I'm in it. I believe I'm part of that. I might be the fisherman. I might be the one casting nets. You know, I might be the involved. Well, we're all involved as part of the source where we give over tithes and offerings, all those kind of things. But I'm recommitting myself today to be part of the purpose of God, the assignment of God. If that's you, stand up right where you're at. You're saying, Lord, count me in. I'm part of this. Count me in. Yeah. Let's worship the Lord.